We are continuing our series. We're so glad you're here. We're continuing our series. It's called Snapshots, and we are talking about different Bible characters throughout Scripture. And so I'm very excited to talk to you today about Peter. Peter is an interesting cat. The Apostle Peter was a rough guy. He's a tough one. He was a fisherman. And one thing we need to understand about Peter is that he wasn't a soft-spoken person. He was blunt. I don't know if you know people like that in your life, and if you don't, you're probably the one. But they can be blunt. They can be harsh. Their words are intense. There's a lot of things, fishermen. And now, if you don't know me very well and you haven't heard, I do work with firemen. It would be similar to firemen. It'd be similar to them. Rough, tough, not all, but some. Very manly, a lot of testosterone floating around in the room. It's thick. It's thick in the air, I'll tell you. And I know because when I come home, Michelle's like, man, I can tell when you've been on shift because there's a high intensity of testosterone flowing from you. She goes, you can see it vibrating. And you, when you're around that a lot, it kind of gets on you. Peter was one of these guys. And the reason why he was tough was because he had to deal with some pretty intense things out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. There'd be huge waves. There'd be all sorts of stuff that would cause most people to be afraid. And he had to handle those things and deal with his crew while he's out there fishing. And so he was tough, blunt, and to the point. We have a rule on the fire ground. We may yell at each other, but at the end of the day, you can't be sensitive and have hurt feelings. So if somebody swears at you and yells at you, you just suck it up and move on, right? You don't worry about it. You don't get hurt feelings. Well, that's kind of like Peter's job, just yelling at people. I don't know if you've watched those chef TV shows where they're yelling and swearing. It's mostly beeps throughout the whole show, so I don't really know what they're saying other than I think they're trying to cook food, but they're yelling and swearing, and everybody's getting mad at each other, and at the end, they do a big cuddle and hug, and everybody's happy. But you got to have thick skin. So Peter was a thick skin, and that's why Jesus renamed him later on down the road as Peter. He wasn't Peter, he was Simon, but changed his name to Peter. And what that meant was rock. But as you get to know Peter, you start to realize that he's not really that much of a rock. He's not. In some ways he is. He's harsh. He's hard. He kind of makes some mistakes. And so I want to read this scripture to you. It's when Jesus is taken and Peter follows him. And I want to read it and just set it up. This is Peter, the big tough fisherman who left his nets to follow Jesus. And now everything's going sideways for the apostle Peter. So let's look at the scripture, Luke 22, 54 to 62. It says this, then seizing him, talking about Jesus, they led Jesus away and took him into the house of the high priest. So it wasn't like, hey, just come on, let's go for a little walk and have a chat with the high priest. It was very aggressive and very violent. Peter followed at a distance. When some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. So he's at a distance and he's following Jesus, seeing what's going on, and then they take Jesus into the house, and he sits down. And a servant girl saw him seated there right in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know you, he said. A little later, someone else saw Peter and said, you also are one of them. And Peter goes, man, I am not. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with them, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. So there's obviously some kind of line of sight here where Jesus can kind of see Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. This hard, solid, tough fisherman was outside weeping because of what he just did. What happens in a situation like this? What happens when there's intense emotions, when there's a lot going on, and somebody grabs someone you love and takes them away? Well, in this particular situation, you have to understand the culture. Rome was not a place to be messing around. The soldiers were extremely brutal. They could kill anyone they wanted, any time, for any reason, and it didn't matter. They had specific rules, too, because if they didn't follow those specific rules, they could be killed, and not only would they be killed, their whole family would be. So that's, I thought I'd give you a little exciting treat for the kids this morning. That's what would happen. So you have to understand, Peter is in fear. What happens when you're in this? You have fear. We see Peter. He says, I'm following at a distance. I'm just going to stay back and watch. So he's afraid to get involved. The second thing is disassociation. He says to the woman, I don't know him. We know he does. And so that fear must have overcome him. And again, that experience of knowing what would happen if he messed around with Jesus and the soldiers and all that, he took that and went, yeah, this is bad. The Bible doesn't really give you the traumatic situation, the emotional, the outcome of what that would be after all that's happened with Peter as he's followed Jesus around, as he's tried to do it, as he's seen miracles. Jesus is looking at a distance. This happens to Peter, and he knows what Peter's doing. So he already said this when they were back a few chapters, and he said, hey, you're going to disown me 3 times. Peter's like, listen, no one is going to say that I'm going to deny you because I'm Peter. I'm awesome. I captain the seas. I'm strong. No. It's very interesting that Jesus gives him this name. We're going to get to that. So there's disassociation. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who Jesus is. And you can tell everybody's like, I don't know. And then what happens? Fear, disassociation, then it becomes anger. Look, I'm getting tired of all you people saying, I know this guy. Man, I am not that person. And then instantly, something triggers. And what is it? Jesus said the rooster. And then there's incredible guilt. I believe in our lives we can be like Peter from time to time. And there are situations where we are afraid to associate with someone or something or some event. We maintain a distance because of fear. And if someone says, hey, aren't you? Nope. Whatever your situation may be or has been. Maybe it's a little bit of you don't really want to say you're a Christian or you go to church because you're kind of afraid that they will associate you with the other ones that you know, that you're like, they're a little too much for me. And I've been there, and I'm a pastor. It happens where you're like, I follow Jesus. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I'm following Jesus. I hope you recognize that. Don't judge me on someone else's behavior. Actually, don't judge me on my behavior. Please judge me on Jesus. Worry about Jesus because of Jesus. It's intense. The example of other Christians, maybe it's our own example, maybe we haven't been the greatest. There have been many times in our lives where we didn't want to say that we were Christians just because of Christianity. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. I don't want other people judging me because of how other Christians act. But unfortunately, that's our world we live in. When our fear gets the best of us, I believe that God allows for forgiveness. So the lesson from Peter here, Peter is a man who thinks he's going to stand up and fight. He thinks he's going to stand up for Jesus. He thinks he's going to have this bold faith. And when push comes to shove, he fails miserably. He talks a good talk, but he didn't make it happen. And again, we don't really know the intense pressure that was put on him because of all the other side things. And you know what? In your life, others don't know the pressures you have. Others don't know what you're going through, so they don't know. But we're quick to judge. Christians are very quick to judge other Christians. You have to be careful of that. Because we could do that with Peter here. I think this situation proves that even if we were side by side with Jesus through his ministry, watching him do miracles, and when the pressure's on, I think that we would even cave in. Here we are, 2,000 plus years later. Sometimes we do the same thing Peter did. Peter was there. So the intensity must be so much. And I think it's a lot easier for us to give up because of pressures that others don't understand. So after Peter denies that he knows Jesus, the emotions are so intense that this hardened, tough fisherman is in tears. Any of us can understand the situation, whether we've had something this intense or not. It probably hasn't been as high pressure to us. It might have been. And we know what it's like to not say something when we need to say something. We know what it's like when we should have said something. Have you ever been in that situation where you're like, ah, oh, man, if I had just said this. Oh. Usually we do it in another situation where when somebody comes up to us and they zing us really well and we're like, you, all right, and then we walk away. Well, it happens in high pressure situations as well. And then we drive away and we're like, oh, that would have been a really good thing to say to them. Man, I'm going to file that away for something really good. It reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where you're like, please give me the words, Lord, to zing this person really well and teach them to put them in their place. But we've been in those situations where high pressure happens and we don't know what to do. When I was a teenager, I really wanted to make a stand for Jesus, and I did. And it got me in a little bit of trouble in some situations. And then there was a time when I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to say anything and leave it alone because I'm getting tired of people giving me issues about it. And I did. And you know what? I was miserable because I wasn't being me. I wasn't being me. Now, I wasn't pushing it on anyone, but if somebody knew I went to church, they were just like, oh, yeah, made fun of you. And it's like, it's just not worth it. Really? That's not adversity. That's not a super big, difficult issue, especially in the world we live in right here, right now. Maybe elsewhere, but where we are, we're fairly free to believe what we need to believe and what we can believe. With Peter, it's encouraging to know that he learned from his failures. Do you learn from your failures? Do you learn from your failures? Adversity is something we're afraid of. How many love going through adverse times? How many love it? I'm the only one that loves it. Oh, yeah, there you go, attaboy. Adversity is something we shun from. We don't want to go through adversity. And what we've done is created this mindset that if things get tough, they shouldn't be, so you should stop or give up or tell everyone it's not fair. I don't know if you've been around this a lot, but I see it all the time. That's too difficult. That's too hard. I should just quit. Oh, adversity. Adversity used to be where we would be like, man, I'm going through a hard time, but out of this, I will draw life experience. And out of that adversity, I will become stronger. We're not welcoming it. I'm not running around saying, please give me more problems because that would be fun for the day. I want to learn. And I want to get better. I want to be more resilient. I want to be able to help others by what I've learned. How many times in our lives do we experience something and we don't take anything away from it because we're so busy going, this shouldn't be happening to me. My question to you is, why shouldn't it? Why shouldn't it be happening to you? Because there's other people that it's happening to. Are we that special because we go to church, show up on Sunday, or believe in Jesus that we can't go through adversity? Frustrating. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter denied Jesus, he preaches boldly. After all this had happened, after he denies Christ, he preaches to crowds of like 3,000 or more. I think that's huge. I think that's a great lesson. If anyone appreciates forgiveness and reconciliation, it's going to be Peter. Peter's story highlights an important principle that I think anyone who attends church, anyone who believes in God, anyone who wants to call themselves a follower of Jesus or a Christian, anyone should know this principle. The goal of the church is not to line up someone in our sights that goes here and then take some shots right at them. That's not our goal. But our goal is to restore. Our goal is to build up, lift up, and come side along someone. If possible, because sometimes they don't want to be restored. Sometimes they don't want forgiveness, even though truly they do. Pride gets in the way, and that's a whole other message. One could say that because Peter denied Christ, that he should not have been allowed to continue to be a disciple. He denied the person he was following. When you are a disciple, you follow everything that person says. This isn't just a willy-nilly, flip-floppy, oh, I'm going to follow this guy because it's a flavor of the month and really cool. No, you follow them because of their teachings and you stay with them. You listen, you give your all to that. Peter, man, if anyone could be disqualified, it would be him. And it's right here, right in the Word of God. He denied him three times. I don't think that his denial disqualifies him. If you go back, Jesus in chapter 22, 32, already set the stage for forgiveness and reconciliation for Peter. We read this, it says, Simon, Simon, which is Peter, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, when you have turned back, so he's telling him, you've already messed up, but guess what? When you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen each other. What comes with fear? What comes with disassociation and anger? Well, guilt. But there is one thing that it also comes with, and it's forgiveness. With recognition of our wrongdoing, with recognition of going against what God has asked us to do, and with our return to the Lord, forgiveness must and it will follow. Peter's failure was massive. It was huge. But his success comes through his restoration. And restoration is made possible because of one person, and that's Jesus. And Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross, rising from the dead, and his forgiveness of all of our wrongdoings. We've all made mistakes, but God has forgiven us. We just like to quantify that yours is worse than mine. You would like to say that mine is worse than yours. And we like to do that because what makes you feel more better than me? What makes you feel more better than, oh, they really screwed up, but I didn't do that. I don't do that. Yeah. The other thing we need to do is not only do we have to extend, we have to accept God's forgiveness, we have to extend his forgiveness to others. That can be a little tougher. Who in your life have you not forgiven? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you haven't forgiven yourself. I think it's time we start moving forward and get past the bitterness, get past the anger, and move into forgiveness and restoration. Forgiveness, though, let's be clear, because this one just makes my brain hurt all the time, every time I hear it. People think that in order to be forgiving of someone else, we have to agree with each other. No. We can have a difference of opinion. And I can forgive you with you not thinking you did anything wrong. You're like, what? You're placing blame. Get over it. If you hurt my feelings, I forgive you. I got a really short memory. It works really, really well for me. So if you've offended me in the past, trust me, I don't remember. And that's a good thing for me because I'd like to move on. And I'm not going to hold you accountable for those actions. Now, does that mean we have to hang out all the time together if you're constantly offending me or what? No. No. God didn't say you had to be best friends. He said you have to love each other. I can love you from a distance. You can love other people from a distance. There are personalities that don't mix. I don't know if you've noticed that, but what we do is when someone has a different personality than us and we just don't like it, we go, they must be bad. Well, they're not bad. They're just different. Honestly, here's the thing. Forgiveness is, first of all, I believe forgiveness, we have to forgive because of Jesus, because he forgave us. So we forgive because he forgave. We have to be able to forgive and let go and do it for us, as well as for the other person. But I honestly believe there's a priority. We do it because of Jesus, and then we do it because of us, and we do it to release the other person. Those last two are big. We don't release ourselves and the other person. They haven't really forgiven. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Well, Jesus forgave Peter before he even did anything. Before he even did it. He says, yeah, you're going to mess up there, buddy, but guess we're good. Now, once that happens and you've stopped being a little chicken, Peter, then maybe go out and encourage your brothers. Go encourage other people. Forgiveness is not an agreement. Forgiveness is a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings or resentment towards someone else, or even vengeance towards someone else. regardless of whether they deserve it or not, regardless of whether they're going to continue and do the same things over and over again, you can release that. And you don't need to be around it all the time. That's fine. Boundaries, people. Got to have those. They're important. But I want you to remember this morning that Peter's success came through forgiveness, and it came in his restoration, in the fact that Jesus already said, you're good. You're good. You're my rock, even though he was the furthest thing from a rock. But guess what? Jesus didn't say who he was right then. He said who he's going to become. You are going to become something. God knows what that is, and he wants to use you. Who's getting in the way of that? Guess what? You. You're getting in the way of God using you. Don't get in the way anymore. Don't stand in the way. You may say, well, I'm not that bold. Maybe Jesus is going to make you bold. Maybe God's going to make you bold. Or I'm not like this in another. God is going to use you. You have to understand. If Peter just said, you know what? Nah. You know what? I messed up 3 times. Jesus called it. I'm out. All those people that he spoke to in that next time lapse of his life would not have known that Jesus was there for them. There are things that God is going to ask you to do that right now you look at it and go, nope, that's not me. And you know what we call this? In the secular world, they call it positive thinking. Well, guess what? I think Jesus was the first one to start that. He was the first one to say, you're better than you are. You just don't know it. You're just getting in the way. Does that mean adversity won't come? Oh, I promise you adversity will come. But guess what? If it wasn't for the adversity in your life, you wouldn't be where you are now. And you're like, that's not a really good spot. It gets better. But again, God didn't promise you you'd be just a, you know, no problems. And so if I hadn't gone through the adversity I've gone through, and it, you know, I wasn't persecuted for my faith. I didn't live in a third world country. Like, it wasn't like that. I could serve God. I could worship God. I had freedom. I was born and raised here. Came through divorced family. That's adversity. It's problems. It's other stuff. You think your whole world's caving in the time. But then Jesus came in, and guess what? You are not defined by your circumstances. You are not defined by what others say. You are defined, and the only way you were defined is by how Jesus looks at you and how God has defined you. You are a child of God. Simple, plain, end of story. Don't allow society to tell you who you are. Don't do it. Because the last time I checked, there's a lot of times, and if history repeats itself, society gets it wrong a lot. I am not going to define myself by what a bunch of Goombas down back before decided to call me or decide who I am or define what I am. I like pedicures. Yeah. I like massages. I wear salmon. Yeah. It's not a silent L. This is not pink, but if it was, whoopity-doo. You know, when I was in high school, I wore pink t-shirts. I don't even know what to say to this, people. You're not defined because someone says you got to be like Peter and be this big, tough fisherman. I like a good massage, a little seaweed wrap. Come on. But you know what? I can fix a car. I go into burning buildings and pull people and a lot of cats and dogs. But, you know, don't define me by what society says. They are wrong. Society is wrong. Every time. Don't listen to them. Listen to this guy, the author of this. Listen to him, because you know what? He's been around a lot longer, just to let you know. Been around a lot longer. So I'm going to take his word over society's word. Because guess what? Society's still trying to figure it out. They're still trying to sort it out. So don't listen to him. You know what? What are you going to do about forgiveness and restoration today, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for others? What are you going and who are you going to forgive and let go? Remember, through adversity, And in your forgiveness, you will be empowered to do everything that God wants you to do. I don't know what that is, only you know, and God will speak to you. But God's going to speak to you. Allow him to, and remove those barriers that you have up, and listen to what God wants for you. Let's take an example from Peter, a guy who was messed up, guy who was rough around the edges, really messed up when it came to Jesus. And guess what? Jesus already forgave him. He said, you know what? Just go encourage your brothers and love on them. That's what we're called to do. So I encourage you today, go do it. We're going to go out there in just a few minutes, and we're going to have a great old time out there in the neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? I would love it. The word today is hospitality, and it should be every day, no matter what. Somebody comes into church, somebody comes here, hospitality, run your life by hospitality. It's going to be fantastic. Forgiveness, restoration, love. Let's do it. Let's pray.